Mark. We will be in Mark chapters 9 and 10. And with your Bible open, lay it on your lap. And would you bow with me in prayer? Father, we thank you this morning for your word, for the instruction that it brings. We thank you, Lord, that we find all that we need in you. You and you alone are worthy of our worship. It has been our joy, our delight this morning to praise you, to sing your praises. And we trust, Lord, that you have been pleased. And now we would open your word, and we pray that it will guide us and it will persuade us. May we hear your voice in what is shared. May you speak to our hearts and accomplish good things in our lives today for your glory. As we open your book, may we do so with great submission in our hearts. We pray this in the strong name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. Everyone, look up here, please. I want you to focus. I want you to think what I am thinking. That long overdue lesson on hypnotism, right? No. I'm thinking about the pendulum. I'm thinking about the pendulum that goes from one side to the other. And sometimes when we think of the pendulum, we think of extremes. But the notion of the pendulum is balance. I appreciate so much what was shared in the class this morning. And I appreciate the songs that we've sung and what's been already reflected in the prayers that we have offered. As we turn our attention this morning to the subject of service, I'm keenly aware that we've got to put that topic in a context. In all of God's Word, there is on the one side, there are the absolutes. There are the indicatives, the things that are true. And then there are also the indictments, the commands, the call to action. Because this is true, this is what should happen. This is a pulpit. Therefore, preach. This is a voice, therefore sing. Because of who and what Christ is, because of what He has done, because of who He is to us, that is exactly the diagram and the outline of what we read as Paul speaks to Titus in our call to worship this morning. Because of that reality, now, be eager to do good works and do them. That perspective this morning is very much on my heart. It is our assignment this morning. So in a context, a broader context of us looking out from among us to appoint additional men to serve as deacons, to deacon as deacons, this morning I want to talk about serving. All of us Everyone who is blood bought, everyone who is sanctified, been washed, redeemed, feet set on that road to heaven, everyone who has taken on the name of Christ, God's people, rolling up their sleeves and working. Rolling up our sleeves, working and building in God's kingdom. And I don't mean a little bit of service here and there. What we're talking about is taking on the responsibility of service, really shouldering specific kingdom responsibility. And that eagerness that we read about in Titus 1 of count on me, sign me up, put me in, coach. I will be part of the team. People serving in the kingdom of God. This is something that is so desperately needed. You see, this is not only just for the people a long time ago in Capernaum. This isn't just for folks in Cleveland. This is for us. The reality is that here we are in a post-pandemic world and environment, and we need to be honest that we have more people coming to worship, we have more people coming for worship, than perhaps we have people serving in the kingdom. And we want to address that. And so, with your Bible at the ready, let's come to the Gospel of Mark. Let's come to Mark chapter 9. And while you're turning there, title of the lesson this morning, Reasons for Serving. Or more specifically, Reasons for Serving in Christ's Kingdom. And let me not try to hide from you that this morning is a persuasive message. I'm going to try, from God's Word, to persuade you about some things this morning. All right, now, let's make sure we set one more context. There are at least three groups of people that are here this morning. Group number one are the people that are already serving. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And how inappropriate that thanks should come from my lips. But no one understands that one day we will hear from Him who has commissioned us and who has equipped us the thank you that we need and we long for. We thank God for you. And God be praised because of you. And I hope that you are encouraged today by what you hear. That's group number one. If you're already serving, thank God, keep doing it. Then there's group number three. Group number three, some new people. Some new people. We are so blessed with people that have just put on Christ in baptism. And literally, as newborn babes are sort of looking around and figuring it out. Do you all know there was a baptism yesterday? Andrew Fisher, all right, a brother that our brother Jonas, our deacon on loan, our brother Jonas and Roy have been having Bible studies with for quite a while, was baptized just after midnight right here at the Spring Street building. And we rejoice with Andrew. We rejoice with the angels on high. We're so thankful for that. And we're so thankful that there are servants like Jonas and Roy. But there's this group number three, brand new people, or people that have just sort of come and have identified with us and placed membership with us. Maybe have just moved to the area. And that's great. That's great. That's fine. We know. All right. It's all new. For a little while. But then, there will be the time and there will be the opportunity for you to serve. And we're coming after you in time. Now let's talk about group two. Group two is in between group one and three. All right, you know who you are. You can figure this out. And we're coming after you this morning. All right, we'll just leave it at that. With that in mind, now let's give reasons. Reasons why we need to be, why I need to be serving in the kingdom of God. So, are you ready for this? Here we go. I don't want to challenge you without first giving you a biblical basis and a foundation. So let's look at our texts and then let's see what it is that we can determine from each. Just a few verses in Mark 9 and one verse from Mark 10. Mark chapter 9, beginning at verse 33. You will recognize the context. They came to Capernaum, that is Jesus and the 12. When he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "If anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and the servant of all." Mark 10, 29 through 31. Jump over to the next chapter. Peter said to Jesus, "We have left everything to follow you." "I tell you the truth," Jesus replied. "No one who has left home, or brothers, or sisters, or mother, or father, or children, or fields, for me and the gospel, will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age." And then notice, they're all repeated again. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, fields, and with them, persecutions. And in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. And then, chapter 10, verse 45. "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and give his life as a ransom for many." Our goal in our pursuit, we want to look at this just like Jesus. And throughout every aspect of this lesson, let those words reverberate and fill in every void, just like Jesus. Learning to serve, just like Jesus. Learning to serve in a world of complete selfishness, just like Jesus. Dealing with narcissists all around us. Learning to serve just like Jesus. Before we get into the reasons to serve, let's establish a good definition. Serve. Diakonos. To serve, to work so that others may benefit. That's it. That's the definition. It's that simple. We work for whose benefit? Others. That is service. This word appears over 200 times in Scripture. In fact, in the New Testament, there are 7 different words that are all translated into one English word. The Bible is full of truth. It is full of instruction about service. Service. Deaconing. To render service, to meet the needs of another, to labor for another's benefit. In our class this morning, looking at Paul's great description of Christ in Philippians chapter 2, and as we were hearkening back to the study that we had just a few weeks ago, and have this mind in you that was also in Christ Jesus. And Sister Marla brought out, Jesus became a servant. Literally, he became a deacon. And she pointed out, but that word literally means slave. And we kind of have the mindset that deacon has a little bit of, you know, self-respect still attached to it, where slave does not. Here's the first reason to serve in Christ's kingdom. Because service can satisfy our heart's longing for fulfillment. You still have your Bible open to Mark chapter 9? Look at the first text. The disciples were dealing with some pretty heady things at this point in the ministry. They have already, mark it down, they have already seen, been part of the feeding of the 4,000 and the feeding of the 5,000. They have already participated, witnessed, observed Jesus raising the dead. They have already experienced countless healings. And 3 of them experienced the transfiguration. And according to Mark chapter 9, they are walking along talking. They are arguing amongst themselves about the kingdom and who is the greatest. Now, apparently, they thought they were out of earshot of Jesus. Bad idea. We are never outside of the scope of his knowing. In Mark chapter 9 and verse 35, I want you to notice the way that he responds to them. In terms of what is it that you are talking and arguing about amongst yourself, and then as the answer is laid out there, I want you to notice that Jesus doesn't just rip into them. Jesus does not say, guys, stop trying to be first. That is not what he said. He does not say, stop seeking greatness. That is not what he said. Nowhere, as far as I can see, nowhere in Scripture is the desire to be great, the desire to be successful, the desire to do good work and then be recognized for it. Nowhere in Scripture is the desire for greatness condemned. Nowhere. But, and that's a really big statement, but we are instructed, we are warned not to go about this in the wrong way. In fact, the desire to be recognized for accomplishing something worthwhile is deeply ingrained in every human being. You have it. Your children have it. My grandchildren have it. And every time a child comes running down that hallway saying, look what I just did, is a reminder of that. You have it. You know you do. But, and again, that's a huge statement, but it is because of the problem of sin. It is because of the sinfulness in my own heart and life that we go about it the wrong way. And so what is it that we seek after? We seek after a great big pile of money. We seek after all of the toys. We seek after the corner office. No, wait, we're post-COVID. We seek after a job that we can work from home and we can do it in our pajamas. We seek after that worldly resume. Those things don't satisfy. But the desire to be recognized for accomplishing something worthwhile is still there. And what Jesus says is, all right, you want to be great? You want to be great in God's kingdom? You want to have real value in God's plan and in God's economy? Make sure you're going about it the right way. Important to understand what Jesus is saying here. Again, as we talked about in class, if you are in the habit of underlining, highlighting, circling things in Scripture, I really encourage you, underline Mark 9, verse 35. And make a note of this. See it with your own eyes. Jesus is not saying service is the way to the top. How many bestsellers right now are trying to talk about servant leadership? And they try to talk about it in these terms of, you want to get to the top? Think of it this way. No! Jesus is not saying service is the way to the top. He is not saying service is the pathway to greatness. Mark it down. He is saying service is the top. Thank you for the amen. The pinnacle of greatness in Christ's kingdom is when you stoop to serve another. You want to sit at the head table? Jesus says, then you be the one to set it. That is real greatness. And that is where real fulfillment comes from. You want to warm your servant heart. You want to warm your human heart. You want to strip away the callous. You want to get that warmth back into your human heart. Serve. Reasons to serve in Christ's kingdom? Because service can fulfill our heart's longing for satisfaction. The second reason. Because service will be rewarded, both now and in eternity. Now, it's amazing as we read the Gospels, you can't help but observe that God knows those who serve. And He has promised to reward those who serve. Go back to Mark 10 and verse 17 and begin there. Mark chapter 10 and beginning in verse 17, this familiar story of Jesus engaging with the rich young ruler comes right in the midst of all of this discussion about greatness and service. Verse 17, Mark records, as Jesus started on his way, a man came up to him, ran up to him, and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Stop right there. Because we are so familiar with the story, I think sometimes we dismiss the importance of this initial engagement. He runs up to the teacher. Good teacher, he asks, what am I to do? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. He's challenging him in terms of the way he has described Jesus. Oh, good teacher? You do recognize, of course, that only God is good. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Teacher, he declared, all these I have kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said, go, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. At this, the man's face fell, and he went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus, looking around, and said to his disciples, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Now we're talking about things that distract us not only from commitment, but distract us from service. The disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said again, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible with Him. And Peter said to him, we've left everything to follow you. I love the fact that Jesus doesn't belittle his statement. Jesus doesn't say, oh yeah? You really think you've left everything? Uh-huh. We'll see about that, Peter. No. In the sincerity and in the reality of the moment, when Peter says, Lord, we've left everything to follow you, it was in fact the truth. I tell you the truth, Jesus responds. Old King James, verily, verily, truth of truths, amen, amen, Jesus replied. No one who has ever left home or brothers or sisters or mothers or fathers or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in the present age. We need to hear it again. We need to hear it again. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, and with them persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. Wow. He knows those who serve. He rewards those who serve. And the categories fall into two realms. Rewards that we receive now. And then rewards that we will receive when the race is won. Rewards now. Those who have given up have received In the other Gospels, as they tell this same story, Jesus says, you gain 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. There are folks in this room right now that if we had the time and we could just tell our stories, people who, because of the cross of Christ, had to give up brothers. But daily are greeted by text messages, phone calls, smiles, hugs of brothers that they have gained. You know what you've received. Folks that have, on the night that they put on Christ in baptism, were kicked out of their homes. And those who previously had been called loved ones said, you're dead to me. And with a grocery bag of belongings in hand, went and stayed the night at the house of the people that baptized them into Christ and gained homes and gained a welcoming into hundreds and hundreds of families. That's by God's design. Rewards now, rewards later. And the rewards later, oh my. The power and the beauty of God's plan. Now, look at verse 30. You can't outgive God. You give up a little, you get back a lot. But also persecutions. And in eternity, eternal life. Eternal life. And all that that involves. Eternal life that I get to be with Him. Crown. White robe. And I get to abide in what is described as an eternal city. And the door never has to be locked. When I was a kid, we used to sing a hymn, "There Stands at the Gate Ajar." I never could figure that out. Because I'm looking through Scripture, where does it talk about a jar being set by the gate? No, "There Stands at the Gate Ajar." The door. The beauty of this is in every earthly city, what did they do at night? They bolted the city gates shut. Why? To keep the bad out. And the beauty of the New Jerusalem is it is described as the door never has to be locked because, number one, there is no night, but now all that is bad is gone and it's for us to rejoice in. Let me ask you, what group are you in? Are you working for Christ, shouldering kingdom responsibilities? What are some of the reasons that we give for not serving? Can we be just real honest with ourselves right now? What do we say? Well, I'm too busy. Too busy with what? It's too hard. Yes, it's hard. But that's where we receive and we apply and we use all of the resources that Christ Himself provides. It's too thankless. Well, again, can we just use this as an opportunity this morning? To thank those who serve so tirelessly, so faithfully. And again, how ineffective it is that you should hear it from my lips when someday you will hear it from His lips. Well done, good and faithful servant. Do you have a sense of kingdom responsibility? Do you have that sense of kingdom responsibility? For some people, the pandemic sent us like rabbits into a hole. And for others, it was an opportunity to step up and to step out. This is an opportunity to serve. They are counting on me. I better do this. I need to do this. Because if I don't do it, who will do it? Third reason we should be serving in Christ's kingdom is because we want to be just like Jesus, who modeled service. Just like Jesus. There are some of us who have heard that name and have known that name from the time that we were 2 weeks old. Others are just now coming to understand and appreciate what it is that Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Like Christ, Christ-like. Are you like Christ? You cannot look into the Gospels, you cannot help but observe that like Christ means serving. His life was serving. If we go back to Mark chapter 10 and verse 45, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve." Literally, "For the Son of Man did not come to be deaconed, but to deacon, and to give His life as a ransom for many." If Christ were here today, nail-scarred hands, in the course of a day, I think about if I had the privilege and opportunity to meet Him right now, in the here and now, what would I do? I would probably be like Peter. I would be so passive-aggressive, I would run up, fall at His feet, grab His knees and say, "Get away from me, Lord." Would you greet Him like a best friend? Would you fall before Him as the Lord of all? But think of this. Would He take you, would He pick you up, would He look you in the eye, and would He say, "You look like me"? Like Christ. You are really like me. Well, I'm loving like Him. If serving is not part of your portfolio, we're not being as Christ-like as we are called to be. Look again at Mark 10 and verse 45. Son of Man, for even the Son of Man. That expression is used 80 times in the New Testament. The first time it appears in Scripture is way back in the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 13. Son of Man. It is designed, it is intended to emphasize His humanity, His humiliation. The humus is where that word comes from. Dirt. The fact that God Himself became man. And then that qualifying word for even the Son of Man. If anyone could have come and been served, it was Jesus. But even He served others. He set the example. How does this set on our ears? How do we take this in? Our culture, our society that has become so incredibly me-focused. I don't know. I wonder if 100 years ago, 200 years ago, it might have been not so strange sounding like it is today. A young man walks in, sits down at the family table in a huff. He is just put out. 17 years old, and he begins talking to his father about all the things that are wrong in the world and all the things that are wrong in the church. And all the things that are wrong with the songs that we sing. His father gave him a challenge and said, okay, you think you can do better? Do better. And he wrote a song. The young man was Isaac Watts. And the song that he wrote was, Am I a Soldier of the Cross? Wow. So I don't know who took who to school that day, or who took who behind the woodshed, as we used to say. But in coming to terms with what it is that we need to sing and that we need to reflect on, and can I do better? Listen to the words. Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own His cause or blush to speak His name? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this vile world a friend to grace, to help me on to God? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Sure, I must fight. If I would reign, increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by Thy word. Beloved, this is as clear a call as I know how to give. One of the great things about preaching in this place to these people is the incredible perspective of that y'all know that I'm talking to myself first. And how on any given Sunday, I can receive a hug and an embrace and someone say, you stabbed me, preacher. Do it again. You stepped on my toes. Do it again. This is as clear a call as I know how to give. Let's roll up our sleeves. We'll sleep when we're dead. Rather burn out than rust out. Let's do the work of Christ. We're going to stand together and we're going to sing, Am I a Soldier of the Cross? And we'll let this song speak to our hearts and be our call to action. Let's stand together and let's sing.